2016 is almost over. It's almost time for a new year filled with new adventures and, you know, another round of lots of days. How do you look forward to this new, you know, period of time set between a system developed long ago based on the rotation and revolution of the Earth around the Sun and its own axes?
Sure.
Me too. Hello, and welcome to the Exploding Barrel podcast for December 29th, 2016. This is always like such a weird week, right? That like after Christmas, before New Year week.
Yeah.
It's like people are still kind of doing things, but no one's really into it.
Yeah. You have that week of work between Christmas and New Year's, and it's like,
whatever. Once you're in January, like, oh, okay, back to life. But now, right now, you're like, no, I'm sobering. What are you sobering? I don't know.
But, just want to drink and eat, that's all.
Yeah, welcome to the show. It's Mike McNally, joined by my brother, Ajguy.
Hello.
This is our big Game of the Year episode, the ninth one we've done of these, so that's fine.
Is it nine?
Well, we started in 2007.
Yeah, wow, that's crazy.
So, I imagine it's about, we started August 2007, so, yeah, hard to believe. But, yeah, that's an exciting thing about 2017. We'll have the 10th anniversary of the show during it.
That's true.
Yeah, so that'll be something to look forward to. But, yeah, so my list has already been along, so some people might have seen it. We do five games. So we'll let AJ kind of go through his. And he kind of looked at my list. He told me we have a lot of very similar picks this year.
It's very apparently, close.
Which I think is kind of rare, actually, for us. I don't think we usually have the same games on our list like that.
Yeah, we're about as close as we've ever been.
Yeah, I think for a few years, there have been a lot more instances of us picking the same game of the year.
Ori comes to mind.
Was Ori last year? We both picked that.
2 years ago.
Ori was last year. Yes, it was. It definitely was.
It wasn't. It came out right before my kids were born in 2015.
Then what was the game of the year last year? I'm pretty sure. No, it was Ori. You're wrong.
Mike, I played the game and then my kids were born 2 weeks later. I know this.
Let me check.
Last year. What the hell? Last year was like a weird year.
Your kids were born in 2015, Ajguy.
Yeah, the game came out in 2015.
This is 2000.
God, I'm so dumb.
You said that at me like, ha, now I got you. Oh, you're funny.
No, I'm screwed up because I'm thinking my kids are two almost, and I subtracted two almost from 16 to 14. And
almost was the operative word there. All right.
Leave me alone. It's been a long year.
Yeah, okay. all right, so yes. Last year was Ori. It was our picks. What about the year before that?
I used to have a list. I don't know what I did with the list that keep track of all these.
Right. What was 2014? Was that the weird year where nothing was very good that we, like, I kind of, like,
yeah, because that was the year Dragon Age was getting Game of the Year awards and stuff.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, I guess it was. That was maybe the worst year in gaming I can maybe remember. It was just a very boring year.
Worst.
I mean, that, what?
Nothing was bad. Everything was just, like, good.
Well, I was like, I can't think of any other year where everything was, nothing was, like, great. I can't think of another year where there wasn't a game that I at least loved.
That was Titanfall was my Game of the Year in 14.
Was Titanfall in 14?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was. I don't know. But so, yeah. Anyways, the point is this was a very good year, I thought, actually. There's a lot of fun stuff this year that I enjoyed, and we'll get to that. So let's do it. What's your number five?
It's World of Warcraft Legion.
That was my number five.
I know.
I play a lot more than you.
You did. Yes. So I think World of Warcraft Legion is the best World of Warcraft expansion ever.
Definitely. It probably is. It's definitely the best, at least since Wrath of the Lich King.
I think it's better.
Well, it's just, you know, it definitely has a lot more of those more convenient features and stuff, like the flex rating, the LFRs.
Yeah, well, it's just, so let me put it this way, because this is one of those words that the hardcore players hate. It's the most accessible. I feel like I can do the most content in this without having to be in a guild that has, like, a set schedule and, you know.
I think it's very accessible while still, like, you know, being World of Warcraft in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Right? I mean, the leveling experience is great.
The level experience was really good.
The way that they structured it so that the zones scale was really fun.
And each kind of zone was like, it's very self-contained story kind of
but
thing.
But more than that, I like the focus on class stories in this expansion.
Yes. The whole class identity is really cool.
Yeah. I like that, you know, my shaman feels like, Okay, here, let me put this way. In Warlords of Draenor, they tried to make you, like, the most important hero in the Horde, or the most important hero in the Alliance, which was like, well, we're all like that. At least me being the most important shaman.
Slightly more believable.
Right. And there's other shaman in my class hall, but I'm like, well, they work for me.
I surprisingly kind of like getting away from the whole Horde versus Alliance thing. There's only one, like, quest line that deals with that very much at all. And everything else is kind of like, no, the class orders are kind of taking charge here. And, you know, they have Alliance and Horde people. So much so that, like, when it is time, like, when you do have, like, that work, it's like, hey, kill some of those Alliance players. I'm like, why?
Yeah, really?
Who cares right now?
Sylvanas, shut up. No one cares. Raven's forces! I'm like, shut up.
It's like, oh, no. We hate those guys. They're difficult. It's like, the whole Horde versus Alliance thing is almost becoming a bummer at this point. Like, guys, how many times has the world almost ended in the last 10 years?
Yeah, well, and honestly, like, the way they've set up the whole faction system, it makes me wonder if they're not going to do something crazy in the next expansion and get rid of the factions.
No, they can't, because you ultimately have to have PvP, right? You have to have battlegrounds.
You still can do that stuff. But I think, like, in the context of the world, and maybe on the PvP servers still have the faction, but it's kind of dumb that, like, you had to faction change off of your Draenei to be, what are you now?
Blood Elf, yeah.
Yeah. It's like, who cares? Why can't a Draenei and an orc go in a dungeon together?
I know, like, I like to being a Draenei, or there's so many Alliance races I like more, but all my friends, everyone plays Horde, and I don't want to, or so I would rather be a Draenei, a Dwarf, or all these other things.
You know, finally in this expansion, they got rid of tagging for most creatures.
Yeah, right, but it's still
faction specific.
There are still times like, well, who cares at this point now?
Right, just go exactly. With it. Like, it's becoming less and less relevant, I think, especially like for where we are in the story now.
I think one of my favorite things this expansion did was the way it made dungeon content evergreen and relevant entire with the mythic quests.
Yeah, they really figured out loot in this expansion.
That was a big problem with Warlords of Draenor, was the dungeons were, you did them for, there's this period of time you did them before you started raiding, because you can get some gear to get you ready for raiding, then there's no reason to ever do them again.
Ever, yeah.
I maybe did all those dungeons once or twice. Whereas, like, this game, I've done all the dungeons dozens and dozens of times. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's fun. You can keep ramping up difficulty. You can get rewards from them that are as good as the raid stuff. Maybe better.
And then, for a player like me, who, like, even at, like, finding time for dungeoning is, you know, can be tricky, world quests are fantastic.
That's a good thing.
It gets you out in the world. It keeps the world populated. And, again, that combined with the scalable zones mean, like, you don't go, like, to the second to last zone and it's empty. Like, there's people all over the world.
No, yeah, that is very good, is that the world is, alive all the time. There always are people walking around those zones, for the most part.
Yeah, and again, even that gear, like, it's good gear that I get sometimes, you know? Yeah, I have an 860 plus eye level.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've done LFR.
That's pretty good for never doing a dungeon.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So, like, or, like, a mythic plus dungeon.
Right.
Actual raid.
Yeah. It all came together for I like the story they're good. Telling.
You haven't done Karazhan yet, but
I have not.
That was like one of the coolest like kind of patch additions that wasn't just a raid, that like super 5-man dungeon was just a really fun experience.
And also, I think the new Demon Hunter class is really good.
Mm-hmm. I don't really play it a whole lot. I'm such a main player.
I think it did a good job of slotting in with everything else.
Yeah.
Like, there was that rush in the first week where, like, everyone's playing a Demon Hunter, but then, like, you know, some people stuck with it, some people moved on, and it just fit in.
Tell you what, if they do another new class, they have to do a caster or some kind of range thing, because all the additions since launch have been melee classes, which is kind of interesting. Which I guess when you think about in the game launch, it was pretty cast. There were a good amount of caster and range, because you had the three, the mage, priest, warlock, shaman could be range, druid can be range, and then you also had hunter. So
yeah,
I guess it makes sense.
Yeah,
there's a good amount.
So, yeah, I mean, yes, Penny, I agree.
Penny sees nothing outside and he's upset about it.
Nothing.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I think a tree branch blowed in the
wind. Ooh.
Yeah, World of Warcraft Legion. I like it.
Yeah, they did a very good job. I'm playing it pretty much every day still, at least a little bit. It's great.
Isn't it amazing that the game still looks as good as it does?
So, you know what? This is a little side story. You know, I'm like going through Ice Crown Citadel every week so I can try to get that super rare horse drop off of Arthas.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's also like a really long quest chain that you like could do. Like, originally back in the game, and, like, it was, like, you know, beat these bosses in this weird way, and then, like, collect items that randomly drop from the bosses, and it's, like, 50 of them, so it takes, like, you know, a month to do that, and just all these things, and I finally, like, finished all of that, in the second, like, before you do the second last quest, you get a legendary weapon. Back when, like, getting a legendary weapon was really hard. Like, it means nothing now, but it looks cool. It's like, I have this legendary weapon. Not very many people have this. It's called Shadowmourne, of course, because, you know, fantasy. But then, like, after that, that's, like, when you get the quest to kill Arthas. And of course, you could kill Arthas, but this is, like, now you're doing it for real. And the cool thing about it, and this is, like, old content, but, like, when you kill him, like, he drops this box that just has all these things in it, and they're all, like, mementos that you then turn into different people and get, like, something pretty neat for. So, like, he drops, like, a locket, and you give it to Jaina, and Jaina will say some things about Arthas, and then she gives you this this item that just creates a portal to Dalaran from Northrend Dalaran, which is super convenient. That's actually very, very rare for, like, a non-mage. Like, I don't just teleport there. I make a portal.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. And then, like, you know, so on. So, like, somebody gave me a different horse mount, Muradin gave me this toy that turns me into a frost dwarf and stuff like that. I was like, oh, this is pretty fun. Neat. Yeah. Okay. So what was your number four?
Number four is Final Fantasy 15.
Hey, Final Fantasy 15. That was my number three. Ah, oh, you like Final Fantasy 15?
Isn't that shocking to me? Isn't that shocking?
Shocker to me.
Still haven't beaten it yet, yeah. And I wonder if like it might have popped up higher once I beat it.
Well, yeah, it could pop. It could have low because there is that one mission people really hate.
And I think I haven't gotten to that too.
You will hate that mission, but I think you ultimately be higher on it.
Well, my hope is that the rate I'm going by the time I get there, they'll have patched it. But boy, wow. What?
Yeah, right?
Huh?
Out of nowhere.
Not out of nowhere. It's been around for 10 years. I guess it's just everything I ever saw about this game. Like, I initially thought that the character design was too... Oh, Nomura's being all angsty. Well, this guy's got emo hair and he has a scowl on his face all the time. Okay.
You're expecting them all to be a bunch of Cloud Strifes.
Yes. And then you know, okay, it's real-time combat like Kingdom Hearts. I gotta admit, Kingdom Hearts combat, not my favorite. Mm. Oh, God, what's this gonna be? And then they released that fucking demo.
Yeah, you did not like
it. It still remains a terrible demo. Mm. Just awful. Because it conveyed nothing of the game that I like.
Yeah, it really did.
Here are the things I like about the game. Open world's gorgeous.
Yeah, really cool.
Incredible. So fun to explore it, drive around in it.
And I like that there is still, like, that, like, sense of danger, like, hey, don't stay out past night.
Yeah, which, because there was one time, I was like, oh, I can get to this campsite, it's dark, but I'll do it. And I'm, like, driving the car, and it's, like, I'm, like, level 8 at the time. And this level, like, 35 demon pops from the road. And, like, and it's cool, because your partner's like, are we going to fight that thing? No, run! And I was like, yes, run!
One of my favorite, like, pieces of incidental dialogue like that is, like, you start a fight, And it's just like, all right, let's develop a strategy. And Prompt was like, keep it short. And I was like, and simple. And then this is just like, fight. Or something. Something like that. He's like, get it.
Which brings
oh, no, it says, attack.
Which brings me to my next point. Boy, do I love the characters.
Not just four people. Who would have thought?
And their interaction between each other is so good. In the incidental dialogue you talk about, which is all really well written, it's natural, mm-hmm. which I did not expect, and the way they interact with you during combat
when you start pulling
off link attacks and shit like that, it's what I've wanted fighting in a video game to be for so long. Mm-hmm. Just the way it's so contextual and just flows naturally. Sometimes you do it on purpose. Sometimes it happens. Do you remember what was that game? I think it was a PS3 early era RPG. White Knight Chronicle?
Oh, yeah. Remember that demo.
Remember that first bullshit trailer they showed?
This is like that.
A lot of this shit. That's why I was initially excited for that game. I was like, oh, look at all this contextual stuff. And it never happened.
That's true. This game is actual White Knight Chronicle.
Yeah.
Wow.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible. There's just so much great detail in the world. Like, again, going into it, I was like, oh, another modern era Final Fantasy. They have cell phones and cars.
Right.
What is this? Give me a knight and a chocobo.
But what's cool is, like, when it contrast that modern stuff with something really outlandish and fantasy.
Yeah, but then they play that to good effect. I like, so they have the whole, like, you have to rest to get your XP. Mm. Campsites, hotels, but then there's, like, these campers that are in towns. And this is, like, just like a little thing. So there's the first town of the game, Hammerhead Station, where the Cindy character is. And, you know, when you... Oh, my God, Penny, I'm trying to talk to the people! When you...
I'll get her.
Yeah. What is she barking?
She's in a mood today.
Okay. I guess. Whatever you do, these camping scenes, there's like these weird little, like just kind of like incidental background animation of your characters like hanging out at camp or sitting in their hotel room playing on their phones. So one time I did the camper at Hammerhead, And, like, Cindy's just, like, hanging out with everybody. And yeah. I'm like, yeah, that makes total sense.
Yeah, she
like,
would be there.
That's awesome. They're just, like, chit-chatting and stuff. I'm like, this is great. In a weird way, so you know, I did, like, all those travel documentaries for a few years.
Yeah.
It reminds me yeah. of the experience that, obviously, we weren't out fighting giant monsters and avoiding demons at night. But it captures that experience of, like, okay, we had a long-ass day of traveling. We camped for two nights in a row. Oh, my God. Like, when he's like, oh, soft beds. Like, that's what we would say. Like, when we got a hotel after right. two nights of camping. Yeah. Like, this, oh, my God, I'm going to shower. This is incredible. And we'd sit around and play cards and bullshit and stuff. Like, it just captures all that in a weird way. So, yeah, like, I'm stunned, but I love this game.
That's good.
Absolutely love
it. I am pleased. I didn't know if you would. So I'm pleased. That's right, Penny.
So that was your number three.
That was my number three. I really
your number four.
Well, because I mean, I like just a little bit. I mean, obviously I love the Final Fantasy series. And I was kind of the same. I was skeptical of this a little bit. Like, oh, this seems like kind of too modern. Like action combat. Like whatever, maybe it'll be fun. And I was like, oh no, this is real good.
Mm-hmm.
Hooray! And yeah. like I said, just there's some really cool moments yet that you haven't experienced that I just really enjoy.
I will say, so like you fight your first big boss. Mm-hmm. Visually stunning. Not very complex as far as the game goes. Yeah,
there's at least one more of those that was kind of a but there's some boss fights that are really cool and stuff. So
good.
About to get
yeah. There is there's that like dragoon lady you fight.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a cool. That fight. That was a cool. That fight. Was a really I did cool like that fight. That was like everything firing on 11 for me. I was like, this is working.
Yeah,
this is working good. Yeah, there's I
some,
like this.
There are some more fights like that good. I really liked.
Yeah. Oh, what a good game.
Yeah, just, man.
Right?
Yeah, I love it.
Right?
So happy that, like, Final Fantasy came out and was really good.
Really good.
Hooray.
Okay, my number three, I believe you're number four.
Yes, we just switched these two.
Titanfall 2.
Yeah.
Woo! This is the best shooter campaign since the original Bioshock.
And that's what's interesting about Titanfall 2 for me. It's like, I'm almost not sure if I like the multiplayer more. I think I might actually like it a little less than Titanfall 1 in a weird way.
Here's my issue, or my explanation for multiplayer. I think they really want you playing that, shit, what's the mode called where you're like getting money and banking it?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
They want you playing that. Because, so they changed the way Doom states and Titans work. In Titanfall 1, once you depleted the health of a Titan, they basically became a ticking time bomb. And either the pilot had to eject or the Titan would explode. Or during that time, if you melee the Titan with your Titan, it was an insta-kill. And you got credit for dooming the Titan. Now the doom state no longer ticks. It's like a second health bar. But your danger is if you get meleeed, you're insta-killed and you can still eject. But you don't get credit for dooming the Titan like that. You only get credit for actually blowing up the Titan, which almost never happens.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to eject.
Right.
So that really screws up the scoring in the attrition mode, but it's less of an issue in that bounty mode or whatever it's called.
I think it is called bounty. Yeah,
okay. So, like, they want you playing that mode, but we still like just playing attrition because it's a little more mindless in a weird way.
Right.
You know? Also, I don't know what it is. I think it's because in the first game, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't you have a primary weapon, a secondary weapon, and an anti-Titan weapon?
Yes, you're right.
This game, you just have a primary and secondary. The secondary can be an anti-Titan weapon.
Yeah, either you have a pistol. It doesn't have to be. In a weird way, I miss the smart pistol as a regular weapon. Mm-hmm. Like, the way I played that game was, like, I know that I might be at disadvantage on pilot fights, but I'm going to just run around and kill as many just, like,
scrubs, so,
like, those little AI things.
I feel like they didn't want you to be... as a pilot, as effective against a Titan.
And I agree with a bit. In Titanfall 1, it was sometimes like, why is like one pilot could take down a Titan on a one-on-one?
I think they went too far. Because now I feel like I get in a match where if the enemy team has like four of their six Titans up, it's like, well, we're fucked.
Yeah,
like, we can't do anything.
Right.
So, but I do like the mechanic of like stealing their batteries and giving them to a teammate.
No, it's still good. Yeah, I still like it. And maybe if I played it more, I would get it more. But just like, part of the problem, honestly, is just that I play so much Overwatch that I don't play as much Titanfall 2 multiplayer as I did Titanfall 1.
But let's talk about the single player campaign, because holy shit.
And I had a feeling, I got to go up to Respawn this year as one of the cool trips I did to play the multiplayer, and they kind of showed us like a splash reel of the single player. It was the first time they showed anything of it, really. And I remember looking at it, like, hey, this looks pretty cool.
And it made sense, because you think about like Titanfall is great in like locomotion and movement. When you think about how they could design set pieces around you being in a Titan and getting out of the Titan, like, you think, okay, like, there's a lot they can play with. And my fear was not being in the Titan would be boring. Mm-hmm. And it was anything but.
No, sometimes those are probably some of the better moments of the game.
And there's one level, which I still don't want to spoil what it is, but everyone who's played the game knows what level I'm talking about.
Right.
which might be one of the best levels in a shooter ever.
It was really cool.
Like, just incredible.
And it's incredible that, I mean, that could be a whole game.
Yeah, and it's just
the there is a Titanfall 3, I have a feeling there might be a bit more of it.
Right. But, and that's what's so smart about the game. All these levels introduce these cool new mechanics that could be their own game, and they take it away from you just when you're getting to the point where it's like, it could start to lose its luster. It's very smartly designed.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks gorgeous. The story is simple, but I liked it. I like the relationship between you and your
and
Titan.
I also like that it actually all kind of, like, sometimes these games kind of, like, jump around too much. Like, this game took place mostly on that, pretty much all on that one planet, right? Yeah.
Which was there one other planet you went to?
I don't think so. You were on that one planet pretty much the entire game. And I liked that.
It was a fairly linear, simple to follow story.
Yeah, and I mean, the Titan character was just awesome.
He
definitely had an Optimus Prime kind of feel to him.
Yeah, sure.
And it was great. But, you know, just kind of that bassy, like,
yeah, nice. I think they nailed all that really, really well.
But
great game.
Yeah, so super cool. And it was just, yeah, really good. It ran very well. And, well, that was fun. As far as just, like, shooting things, it was pretty
great. There's something about, because I was playing some Call of Duty last night, actually. There's something about Titanfall. When you're shooting another human in the game, you just kind of feel that impact better. And you also get a better sense of when you've actually killed somebody.
Yeah, I know what you mean. You know,
there's like a weird little ping sound effect that happens.
Yeah, it is a bit more.
That, like, you miss in Call of Duty, because you just don't know.
Yeah, bullets don't seem to have as much weight in Call of Duty for whatever reason.
Yeah. So, boy, did I struggle with number one, number two. What could they be?
This was my struggle, and the year went on, it became less of a struggle for me. I kind of knew what I was going to do here.
Yeah, I think you and I went similar. So my number two game of the year, and I can't believe I'm saying this, is Uncharted 4.
Yeah. It was my number two.
Because you played it, and you're like, well, this is the best game ever made. Like, what could ever beat it? And so let's talk about it, because holy shit. Like, it's incredible to me that I've seen footage of, like, The Witcher 3 running on a $3,000 PC. And don't get me wrong, it looks amazing. But this game running on, like, a base PS4
and it
looks incredible.
And even understanding, like, there's a bit of advantage because it's not super open world stuff. The environments are still very big.
Yeah, too. Like, the Madagascar stadiums are huge.
Or, like, a place where you're just driving around your boat on all these different islands. I'm like, I don't understand why Uncharted 4 looks so much better than every other single console game. Like, by a leap. By a margin.
Yeah. So, I played through some levels on my PS4 Pro, which we'll talk about later. Yeah. My God, it looks incredible.
It's so
like,
cool.
There's no other way to describe it. Like, nothing has ever looked this good.
Yeah.
It's just mind-blowing.
And I like that they still kind of found, like, something interesting to do, like, story-wise. Like, it wasn't just exactly another...
A lot of people are like, oh, he has a brother? Like, I'm sure, like, you know what? They explained it well enough. Who cares? Yeah. This is fun.
There could have been a danger where it's like, oh, the mysterious person. No, it worked out. And it kind of gave you a central theme there besides just like, oh, what do we... Like I think Uncharted 3 tried to do kind of something similar with Drake and Solly or Drake's past, and it didn't work quite as well.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole Drake and his brother thing worked.
Yeah,
because
it's about brotherhood, it's about redemption, it's about being who you are.
Right, and that's the story, how far will you go for the treasure and all
that. The story's about something, right?
Like, it's not about anything too much. Like, it's not like, you know, freaking...
Yeah, it's not like Apocalypse Now or anything, but... strangely, one of my favorite things about this game is how much less gunplay there is.
Yeah.
That was always the weakest part of the Uncharted games, since they were finally like, why do we have to have so much shooting?
No.
Like, put some set pieces in, put some fights in there. Like, let's just have cool environments that you're exploring, checking out, and interacting with your
characters.
It's
definitely a lot more of, like, the more the platforming, puzzle-solving kind of things. But I do like the way combat works. And Uncharted's always been like this, and they kind of even nailed it more here, because just the sort of arenas, if you would, are bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it always starts off as a stealth encounter, where you could sneak around, you could try to kill as many people as you want, you could try to just beeline for an exit and not fight anybody. But those are both very hard things to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of meant to be, at some point, someone's probably going to find you unless you're, like, really careful. So I kind of like that, like, the difficulty of the fight depends on, like, that how well you did in that stealth phase.
Mm-hmm.
Then from there, it just kind of devolves into, like, all right, now we have to shoot them. And, like, and it's not, even though it's in the car-based shooter, there's a lot of times where you're encouraged to run. Like, the AI in this game is more aggressive, right?
Yeah, they try to flush you
out. They'll try to flush you out.
You
so
can't
a lot of times,
just hunker down one
and
spot.
Since you have that grappling hook, you can kind of, like, swing around and all that stuff.
Yeah, grappling hook makes no sense, physically speaking, but it's
but
awesome.
It's good to, like...
It's so fun.
It's good to throw a variant in there, right? Like, how are we going to make this a bit more different than the other ones? We'll give them a grappling hook, and yeah, that works out just fine.
Mm-hmm. I think, like, The biggest thing that almost kept this game from maybe even making number one, this is going to sound weird, if I didn't know about the Jeep level. Like, it's a little bit of a bummer that that was their E3.
Because that was, like,
That's the big moment in the game. Yeah. You know?
And you kind of seen it already.
Like, literally the whole thing.
I get they got to sell the game. You kind of have to show what you got. But, you know, it's not like they showed the train level when they were showing off Uncharted 2.
They should have saved that. They really should have.
They could have even done the bell tower instead, which is also a really cool moment, like, right before that.
Yeah.
The bell I think they should. And that's, like, a marketing move. It's almost on a
nut. I know. But, like.
But, sure. I know what you mean.
But
also.
Epilogue was incredible.
The epilogue, the fact that they actually did end it pretty well, and it was like a really cool slow epilogue. It lets you, like, so many times when these things end, you kind of feel like,
end credits.
And like Mass Effect 3 was the big one, right? Where it's like people felt unfulfilled. This game really slowed down. Said, all right, you get what you need out of this ending, get the closure you want, because here it comes. Like, you know it's coming, and you just kind of okay, good, yes, thank you.
Right.
Like, the fact that I love Uncharted, and I'm like, yes, okay, Uncharted's over. It's fine. Even though we're still getting that, like, standalone expansion.
Which I'm glad they, like, went that direction. Like, stay in the world. Doesn't have to be Nathan Drake. Mm-hmm.
But
I'm very excited for that.
It's not kind of going to the ending. I know people sometimes criticize, like, the final bosses or whatever these games. I've never been quite as critical on, but I thought, like, this one was really cool with the... I guess I still don't want to give it away. People may have gotten it for Christmas, but I really liked that. It was very epic and cool and just very...
Yeah.
I love this game.
A lot of people didn't like that one, though. I loved it.
The ending again?
Yeah.
Every single time with these games, people don't like
it. I know.
The one I maybe agreed with was 3. 3 was like a little... I thought 1 was fine.
Yeah.
Well, 1, they complained. There's not an actual boss fight. And then, like, 2, they do boss fight. Like, why is there a boss... Why do boss fights have to be in every video? I was like, Jesus Christ, guys.
Right. Also, Uncharted 4 has, I think, the greatest gaming Easter egg in the history of gaming Easter
eggs. Oh, my gosh, yes.
Again, you know what I'm talking about.
Especially for us, for what we like. It was so hard for me. Wait, are we talking about the one or the other? We're talking about the more Naughty Dog one or the more...
No, the more other one.
Okay, good, yeah. The other one was cool, too.
Yeah, that was cool, too.
But, yeah. Like, no. It was actually hard for me to play this, to review this game, because I was seeing all these really cool things that I wanted to talk to, like, you and other people about. I have to wait a couple weeks. It's awful. Like
they don't have it yet. It's not out yet.
I remember just seeing it. I was like, what?
Is that who I think it is?
Oh, my God. But, so it's kind of worth talking about the multiplayer bit, because the multiplayer seemed fun and fine, but it's just, in this day and age, there's just so many options for multiplayer.
Well, that Horde mode's out now, which...
I'm sure it's fun.
Chris has my copy of the game, but I do want to try it.
But it is kind of... And again, that's another Overwatch problem, where, like, I'm kind of playing Overwatch if I'm playing a competitive online shooter right now.
Well, that's a great segue,
Speaking
Mike.
Of which, there's a game of the year for both of us, apparently, is...
Yeah.
Overwatch. So, wow.
Remember Blizzard Entertainment, who's never made a shooter, decides... Oh, this MMO we were making failed, but maybe we can use some of the art assets from it and make a shooter. And then make the best shooter, like, competitive multiplayer shooter ever done.
I still wonder just how much of Titan is in this game.
Art I don't think asset. Much. I think it's, like, some design.
Yeah. But,
it's not, like, the same engine or anything.
No. But it's something. So we first saw this game, like, at that one BlizzCon. I think we all thought, like, oh, they're making a Team Fortress clone, whatever.
Yeah, like, oh, like, that trailer's cool. Like, this could be a good universe.
Mm-hmm. But then, like, I started, like, playing even just the beta of this game, and I was just like, this is, like, really cool. And one of the neat things about it is that for just, like, you think, like, oh, multiplayer-only team-based shooter, what you would almost expect something more like Paladins, that like, kind of Overwatch knockoff that just came out, like, or even, like, a Super Monday Night Combat level kind of a thing, where it looks pretty good, but not whatever. This is just, like, the production value on Overwatch is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
The Uncharted games have, like, the best animation, right? But, like, this game has the best, like, cartoon animation.
Well, Uncharted is mo-capped.
Right.
And this is keyframed.
Right.
Like, I saw the GDC talk, where they talked about how, you know, the characters have, what do they call it? There's a word for it, but they're, like, noodle bones.
Yeah.
That can have that squash and stretch.
I think the best example of that is when McCree does his rolling highlight.
Yeah, and his, like, face stretches out. It's a classic animation technique that's been around as long as animation and you know, Mickey Mouse and everything. But, like, games don't really utilize
it. It's hard
it.
To do when you have a 3D model.
Yeah, so, like, they figured that out. And then, again, you talk about the world building they did before launch was so smart with the animated shorts, the comic books, all the write-ups and everything. So even though there's no single player, you know who these characters are, you know what the world is. And building off that, then in the game you get all these, like, unique snippets of dialogue, like, between characters and the way they interact with each other.
Each character is interesting. Well, and not just, like, their actual character and the way they play.
And because it's not like you're not picking a class, you are picking a character, which is kind of a MOBA sort of thing to do.
But it works. And it, yeah, mm-hmm. it is. So I think a lot of people are like, oh, this is MOBA because they're heroes. And the only thing that really makes them make the only MOBA thing is that you have heroes that have like the regular abilities and like an ultimate ability that charges over time. Mm-hmm. But it's not a MOBA because you're not like attacking structure. You don't have like the creeps, the shop, and all that stuff. It's definitely much more Team Fortress. It's payload is the main mode.
In a weird way, could have been Team Fortress 3. Like, right. If you reskin this game and say Valve made it and told me it was Team Fortress 3, oh, all
right,
cool.
Right, exactly. Like,
okay, there we are. It confounds me that out of nowhere Blizzard's like, oh, we'll give this a shot, and it's the best
ever. Well, it's because every character is interesting, but, like, everything they put in this game is good, so they're, like, is great. So there's a bow and arrow character. That bow and arrow feels fantastic.
Yeah.
Drawing back, climbing it, like, that character, like, has just the right tools.
His locomotion is good. Like you don't feel underpowered because you have to draw this bow. Mm-hmm. Then they have, like, a melee character with a shield. Perfect.
That works out great.
Works great. Incredible. Right.
And yeah, like this. And then, like, you have some of these kind of more off the wall, just like Tracer, which is just, I remember the first time I was playing that character, was like zipping around, like, this is so cool.
Yeah, like, I could play the Tracer video game.
Right, exactly. That was just so.
And then it's just funny thing, in the last year, how many games? Battlefront, Titanfall, Evolve, $60 for a multiplayer only game? Where's the single player campaign? What a crock of shit. No one's complaining about that in Overwatch. No,
even though there is a $40 version of it, even still.
That's like, only PC.
Right, yeah, and even that's very base. No one cares. It's like, it's funny how the game, it's just so well done. No one even thinks to say this should have a single player mode.
Mm-hmm.
It's clearly fine the way it is.
Yeah.
And they've done a very good job adding content to the game for free.
Yeah, we've got two new heroes, maps, modes,
the holiday events are super fun. And the heroes they had have been cool. I was critical of Ana at first, and now she's like my favorite character. That
still cracks me up. I think I got in the closed beta. It was late February this year, so I've been playing it for a while. And that was a cool time to get in it, because that's when they were obviously making the most sweeping changes to balance. Like, remember, Bastion used to have like a little mini shield in front of him. He's been so different from that first launch.
It still killed me when the game just launched and people were like not used to Bastion. Was like, he needs to be nerfed.
Well, just walk up to him with Genji and he dies.
Now he barely gets played very often.
I know.
They didn't change him after that. But that's a good lesson for everybody.
It's
so fun.
Incredible.
Yeah, just the thing. It's like every time I play that game, I like have like a fun experience or like a memorable experience. I have so many friends that are playing it, which helps. It
helps a lot.
I'm playing with people like almost all the time. It's just so neat. Just so much, and it is like, you know, with Titanfall or Uncharted or Call of Duty, so many things. It does often feel like you're on a team, but you're doing your own thing. This is almost always a team effort when you're playing, even if you're not really necessarily communicating with people exactly. It's still so important to. For the most part, sometimes there's some characters that are like flankers, quote unquote. But for the most part, like, you are supposed to engage with each other, right? And kind of do these things with each other and like play on the objective and all that stuff. And it's just so cool. Yeah, that game's just so fun. Just oozes personality, like unlike anything I can imagine. Just fantastic. And it seems like the first year in a while where there kind of seems to be a consensus amongst all the outlets that Overwatch is game of the year.
Yeah,
which is strange for a multiplayer only game.
I'm very excited to see what they do with this league.
Yeah, I think it peaked.
I want that to succeed so bad. It's another good point that
all these games, like, oh, we're going to be an esports game. And it's like, okay, sure. And like Overwatch pretty quickly became an esports game.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
So fun. What a good game.
So were there any games you want to talk about that didn't quite make your list?
Yeah, let's do some honorable mentions. I think this was number 6 on yours. For me, it's up there too, is Doom.
Doom was...
Again, it's just one where it's like, oh, new Doom, whatever.
Yeah,
Holy shit.
Doom was the one that was like, Final Fantasy 15 surprised me, but it was on my radar, you know? Doom, not even on my radar. I was like, I'm probably never going to play that, whatever. Oh, cool, we're going to remake Doom again. And I was like, oh, wow, this is super fun. It's hilarious to me how... All that old stuff, like finding key cards and like health packs and like all that stuff, suddenly feels amazingly fresh.
It's so old, it's new again.
Right.
To quote one of my favorite movies.
Mm-hmm. But that was just
and it looks so good. Like, it's so weird to me that, I mean, you and I have a similarly spec'd PC, which is pretty good, not amazing, but not bad by any means. I mean, we could crank that thing to 1080 with, like, every setting. You get, like, 150 frames per second.
It's so nice.
It's like, why does this work so well?
Yeah, that's it's just super fun.
What a great game.
That's, like, a game, so like in 4 years, you can still, like, go through that campaign, just run around. And another game to kind of add some nice content to. Like, there's, like, that arcade mode, which is, like, really, like, gets rid of, like, any cutscenes or whatever, and, like, just has you go.
Yeah.
That's really neat.
Other ones, Civilization VI.
Civilization super fun. Just super relaxing.
I mean, it's very evolutionary instead of revolutionary from 5, but the changes they made, like the way they, just the way they've unstacked cities.
Yeah,
and
I like that.
And the way you build, because that's my favorite part of Civ is building stuff. Mm-hmm. So good. So good.
I usually have at least like one portable game high up on my list, and this year I had like a few kind of on like the lower, like they're like they kind of registered, but not like super high. Like new Fire Emblem Fates was really good, but it's just like not as good as Awakening.
Yeah,
it's like you might as well, you know, if you were going to play one, I would still say play Awakening. I really like the new Ace Attorney game, Phoenix Wright. Mm-hmm. I thought that was super fun. I mean, I'm a big fan of those games. I thought this one had a pretty good storyline and some cool like additions and stuff like that. Bravely Second, I enjoy a lot. It's like the more traditional new role playing game. Mm-hmm. I also have like Bravely Default a bunch. They basically just have that the battle system, not necessarily the battle system, but they have the job system. I mean, from Final Fantasy V, which I love, mm-hmm. and just kind of really likable characters, and just it's like old school while still new. That game was really fun. And Planet Coaster is the one other one where every time I play that game, I like it more and more.
Yeah, I start playing it. I haven't gotten to start yet. It's so good. I'm very pumped to. Another game, I only just started it, so like, but I feel like it could have cracked the list. The new Ratchet & Clank is pretty freaking great.
And that's one that I'm going to get just because it seems to be like one of the great games to play on a PlayStation 4 Pro.
Yeah, on my TV, it looks
I always heard it was really good, and I like Ratchet & Clank.
Like, it's weird because there are like some pre-rendered cutscenes in the game.
From the movie, I think they just take them from the movie.
Yeah, and it's like the game looks just as good, but it's like in higher resolution than 60 frames per second.
Yeah.
Yeah, that game's really good. I'll talk about it more if we want later. Maybe, so what let me ask, what's your most disappointing game of the year?
Oh, that's actually pretty easy this year for me.
What is it?
It's Mirror's Edge.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I was really looking forward to that.
I think a lot of people were.
I love Mirror's Edge 1. I thought the open world thing made... And it wasn't a bad game by any sense, but...
Something about it just didn't feel right.
Something did not feel right, and... I'm still not even sure what it was. It just wasn't quite as...
You know, I think is part of the problem? Too many people talking.
There's too many people talking.
I don't need to hear your shit. I just want to run around.
I think that having that open world structure, like, you have these paths, but it's not, like, perfectly designed.
Right.
You know?
You lose some of the tightness of everything.
I think there's some times where they maybe made the path too obvious, like, which way you're supposed to go. I think... I admire them for getting rid of gun combat, but I almost feel like... And they made just combat better, and it was better. I think the right thing to still do was just to ignore combat, though.
Mm-hmm.
I think, ultimately, you still just want to run passively. Maybe we'll have one move... that kicks them as you fly by them.
Yeah.
But, yeah, just in general. So, yeah, so it was just kind of a bit of a disappointment that, like... Because, like, now that the game came out, it didn't do very well, and I was... Okay, I guess Mirror's Edge is done now. Mm-hmm. It's like, I guess we'll always have Mirror's Edge 1, but, yeah.
Right.
The franchise potential there is probably gone, which was too bad. Cause, I mean, I still love Mirror's Edge 1. And this wasn't a bad game. That's what's disappointing. It's not like...
Yeah, it's not,
it's like
terrible.
I can see... It's like, it's not, like, super obvious to me, like, what went wrong. But it's just like, nope.
What is...
Did you have much disappointment?
Oh, yeah, hang on. Let me think. I didn't say mine. I had one, I feel like. And now I can't... Is there anything I was disappointed in that you remember?
No, I don't really...
I didn't take a lot of risks in my game buying this year.
No, it's like at this point, you know, if you're going to get a game, you better... You hope that it's something you're probably going to like.
I guess, like, if I had to pick something, gun to my head... Honestly, for some reason, new Pokemon didn't...
I was just about to say, I kind of having the same thing with Sun and Moon.
Like, I was playing, I was like, this is pretty good, but then, like... You know, you do that thing where, like, you don't play, like, you go that first day where you didn't play it, and you just kind of never pick it up again.
Yeah, I'm
I think part of it is there's, like, so much stuff came out this fall that it's like, what am I going
to
do?
It's even doing some things that I asked, like, let's try to change up the formula a little bit, and it is a little bit, but there's still just, like...
Oh, yeah, real quick, I thought of one more mention I really wanted to get out there. Forza Horizon 3.
Yeah, that's
real good game. Real good game. Just want to say that.
Okay, so
let me ask you this, too. What game did you not play that you most regret not having not played yet for 2016?
There's two. The one maybe more is Owlboy. Which is that really, really gorgeous 2D Metroidvania. Kind of like an Ori, except this is pixel art, and it just looks really good. I know it's a game I'm going to like. It's right up my alley. The other one is Stardew Valley. I really liked the old...
it's like $10 right now.
I know. I have it.
Oh, you have it?
I just haven't played it. it's just like... I know I liked the Harvest Moon games back like when I was playing on the Nintendo 64 and like the Game Boy Color, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And this is just supposed to be like a really good Harvest Moon-style game, and everybody really likes it. I just haven't gotten to it. So those are the two.
Mine, it's weird, because I don't think I'm going to like it. But I still want to play The Last Guardian, just so I can like have an opinion on it. But so much of what I've heard, when it was like... oh, like, the animal doesn't listen to you. But it's just like, because it's an animal, it doesn't listen to you. I'm like, it's a video game, it should listen to me.
Just like most of the time. There could be, like, a cute moment where it doesn't listen to you to show how it's not an animal.
Yeah, but I need to know that, like, it hurt, like, the game heard me, but the animal is ignoring me.
That's the problem, because you're always just like, what's wrong?
Is it broken, or is it supposed to do that? Yeah. And then, like, I hear about the jumping imprecision.
I'm glad the game's out. I'm glad it happened.
Yeah, so we can just kind of stop talking about it.
It's like, so funny that
it's like Duke Nukem Forever finally coming out. Like, okay, good.
We're I wonder done. Who would have thought that Final Fantasy versus 13 and Last Guardian would both come out, and the Final Fantasy year. One would be better.
Yes.
All right. Anything else?
Good year for Blizzard.
Good, great. Great year for Blizzard.
I like all my Blizzard.
I just
shit.
The Hearthstone, but I still play Hearthstone all every the time. Day. I love Hearthstone.
So good, right? So, now. Such a good place.
Yeah, Blizzard's doing pretty good for themselves.
This was an unexpectedly good game. Like, I knew we had Uncharted coming out.
Good year, you mean, yeah.
And you were like, well, that's going to be the end of the year. Mm. But Overwatch kind of built up and became this incredible thing. Like I said, Doom came out of nowhere to blow us away.
Those three games all came out in May. Yeah. It was a great May.
It was a really good May. Because Ratchet and Clank
and
was
May
also
is not
May.
May is not the month you think of for like all these
But May
games.
Is a great time to release it's a right game. Because summer. It's right before the summer. You have all this time coming up. That we're, it's so smart. I hope May becomes the new November.
Mm-hmm.
In a weird way.
So I think we can wrap it up here. Then the next week we'll talk about what we're looking forward to in 2017 as it starts.
Some predictions.
Yep. So, all right. Cool. All right. Well, let's listen to this.
Hey, you want to talk real quick about PS4 Pro? Have you... play with you as much?
We
got PS4 Pros. You might have picked up on that.
I don't have a 4K TV yet, so it's hard for me to really pick up on some differences sometimes.
Yeah, a lot of for example, Uncharted, you're not going to see much. It's just the resolution bump. But The Last of Us Remastered, you can play in that 60 frames mode, but still keep the higher quality shadows.
Yeah,
I believe. Paragon, but I know that gets a bump.
I know Final Fantasy 15 has a patch for it.
Yeah, you can play, they call it light mode, where it's still 1080p, but better graphics, smoother frame rate. Which I've heard, the guy at Digital Foundry, though he has a 4K TV, plays Final Fantasy 15 on that setting, because he prefers the smoother frame rate.
I think I'm the same way. I do like that. It is weird. Isn't it weird at this point with console games where we're choosing between those two things?
Yeah, and...
It's also, in some way, it's bad.
I'm of two minds, because, so for example, in Last of Us, I'm like, do I play in... true 4K at 30 frames, or this weird between the two resolutions, but at 60? Can I really tell the difference? Can't they just decide for me? Yeah, tell me which one looks better, exactly. And I'll play
now
that
I have to go online and see what people say.
Yeah, I got it on sale. I haven't fired it up yet, but I got Rise of the Tomb Raider because it was $30 last week.
That has
four or three modes you can pick between. Wow. You can either do 1080p ultra settings, 1080p normal game settings, but now it's 60, or the 4K mode. It's like, well, I don't know. Am I going to see that much difference?
That's a weird game, because I forgot that it came out on PlayStation 4, because it was touted as kind of a Microsoft Asus for a while. So, all right, I think that'll do.
Yeah.
All right, so thanks for listening to the EB Podcast, everybody. You can go find us at ebpodcast.com. I don't know why I said EB the first time.
You can really say the URL.
They stand for Exploding Barrel, by the way. You can find more of us at iTunes, Google Play, and all that stuff. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
Good job, Overwatch.